Daily Double. Dungeon Radio Show. Double Dungeon Radio Show. It's a Daily Double Dungeon for Thursday, 7th of De Mayo.
Yeah.
This joke is never going to get old.
It might.
7th of De Mayo. Howdy, I've got our phrase of the day. Our phrase today, coronavirus parties.
What does that mean?
The local government in Walla Walla, Washington came out today. Well, last week, they aggressively threatened anyone who was holding a coronavirus party where people were knowingly exposing themselves to coronavirus with the full force of the law, saying that they were going to crack down on these coronavirus parties.
Wait, what does that mean? People having regular parties?
No, they
knew someone.
They
had
came
it.
Out saying that they wanted to crack down on coronavirus parties where people were knowingly exposing themselves to coronavirus.
That's what you said, but they really mean that?
That's like, what they meant.
Knowing someone in that party had
that's
coronavirus.
That's what they meant. They came out today,
yeah,
and the Walla Walla, Washington government apologized
said.
And said these coronavirus parties never happened.
They don't sound like they happened.
They said it was a misinterpretation of a party that did happen, which was just an innocent gathering.
Of course it was. Walla Walla.
Get it together.
Get it together.
We're all going to die. Not having it. I have a grocery store update.
Oh.
I went to the fruit stand. They charge $2.49 for a quart of milk.
It's too much.
That's so much. $2.40. You can get like
too much money.
I bought it though anyway, like an idiot, because all the other stores are closed because everything closes so early here.
Yeah.
You can't even like it's before sunset that all the grocery stores are closed. So I had to get it there because I know you're gonna want it tomorrow for your coffee instead of
or
that
tonight for cocoa.
Wacko. What did I do today? I gave you some hot water mixed with.
Heavy cream
and sugar.
Yeah.
How did it taste?
That was good.
Okay. Close enough to
it
milk.
Was close enough.
It was like making milk from scratch. California today identified that the first community spread coronavirus case there was originated at a nail salon. And they warned all of the other states that have been reopening, hey, maybe nail salon shouldn't be the first place that you're rushing to reopen.
Touching people and
people touching people. Yeah. Yeah.
Very, very close to each other.
Hair salons.
Breathe on each other.
And, yeah.
I know. That always being the list of places that are first to reopen boggles like
that,
my mind.
That clip we played of the lady who said, I trust that my hairstylist is taking the necessary precautions to keep me safe.
Yeah.
That's not somebody I would think to put my life in their hands. So
it's very strange to me.
Very strange. They're just trying to reopen stuff, but still, it's a little sketchy. A little sketchy. You're contagious. New York, today in the New York Times, was identified as the epicenter of the coronavirus spread throughout the U.S. They said that in early May, New York was responsible for the majority of transmission throughout the country from people catching flights to other places and bringing it with them. So,
oh, wow.
Adi, all I'm taking from this article is New York is number one. We're number one.
We're number one.
We're number one. You're contagious. I thought I went for a long walk today, and I thought about getting you some cookies at Ovenly, which is a local bakery / coffee shop.
Yeah.
And their baked goods include such classics as...
Oh, they have like... Parmesan scones, or cheddar mustard scones,
which those aren't even as good as they sound. The cheddar mustard.
No, they're delicious.
No, they're not as good as they sound.
They're so good.
They
how
sound
do you
like
even have
so
those?
Good.
They don't really have them except for on the weekends.
They put what's the one
have
the that
pistachio
they put?
Cardamom bread.
Yeah, that's the one. Pistachio
that's so
cardamom.
So good.
Anyway, so I was gonna go get you the
hot the chocolate scones cookie.
And the cookie, the hot chocolate cookie. And I was going to get you a peanut butter one too. Because I know you like their little half globe peanut butter cookie, which is very moist in the middle.
I ate too many when I used to work for them. So now it's like touch and go.
But I went to go and there were 8 people in line ahead of me. And I said, forget this. I am not waiting 8 people
Danger
deep.
Zone.
8 people deep to get you some scones.
Yeah. Thank you for passing so
walked,
by, though.
I walked to the park next door, which is Transmitter Park. And it was very full, but everybody was being very good. Except for, I was out on the pier. There's a pier there. I went all the way out on the pier and I was watching. There was one of those crested cormorants.
Mm-hmm.
Little black or large blackbird. Flew in a weird way to the center of the river and then did a huge dive bomb right into the river, and then he popped up a second later, so he must have caught a fish. So I was watching that, and then I turned around to walk back, and there was a group of maybe like 8 people who were all on city bikes, and they were spreading kind of wider than a single lane, biking out onto the pier, biking, like actively riding their bike out there.
That's great.
So that was annoying. Other than that, it was good. Also, there are becoming a lot more, what do they call it when they put locks on the chain? What do people call that?
Locks on a chain?
Not on the chain link fence of a something.
I don't know, but I hate it.
Yeah, there's a bunch of those out there now. There was one little tiny one that I was actually like, okay, that's actually kind of cool.
Isn't that supposed to be bad for the
fence's infrastructure? It's terrible. Yeah, it's just added heavy weight.
What is the point?
So there is no point. People
that's
are
not even good representation of your love. You're being locked up. It's terrible.
Our love is represented by a lock on a bridge.
That's Oh my gosh. I hope not.
Daily double.
I also went for an even farther walk, and I walked all the way down. Andrea had told us that Tacombi was extremely packed, and people were not following any kind of guidelines.
No
so
good.
I walked all the way to the new location, and there was nobody there. It was completely empty. So if you want that taco place, let me know. Except that you have to order online, which is dumb. But if you want.
No cash.
Yeah, cashless. Cashless. Let's talk about politics. I received a hot tip.
Really?
Yes. A listener to the show
okay.
sent in this news story right before showtime that Australia's Attorney General has moved to make the misuse of data collected by the data collection apps that they are using illegal.
Great.
Did you figure out that you were the hot tip? Okay,
yeah. Once again, I'm sending them to you.
Yes.
Because you're my partner, not as a tip.
Well, it's a hot tip. This is a good one. Okay. So Australia is moving the data collection app that 5 million people have downloaded.
Already.
They're just now thinking, hey, wait, maybe we should have a penalty if somebody misuses this data.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's possible.
And so you know what the penalty is going to be? What? It's going to be up to 5 years in jail, which nobody ever gets. But the fines, thousands of dollars is what the way they phrased it.
Wow, it could be like
do you know how much
$1,000?
The information they're collecting could be worth potentially millions.
Yeah.
And so if you could get it and then pay thousands of dollars in fine to get out of trouble, you could still come out millions ahead. So
wow.
I see.
Yeah, I wonder what the thinking is there.
Ocean's 15 plot.
That's terrible. Oh, I don't like it. I'm not gonna watch that one.
Bloomberg promised his staff during the primary that he was hiring them full time through the election 2020, regardless of whether he became the candidate got the nomination or not.
Yeah. Who would agree to stay.
We talked about at one point that he was paying people so much more than any other campaign could afford that he was causing a brain drain on local elections.
Oh yeah.
Where he was getting all of the good local talent at every position and stripping people who were in actual tight competitive races out of competition because they couldn't hire good staff.
Interesting.
So that's interesting. However, yeah. So after he withdrew, he donated $18 million to the DNC. And as a stipulation of that $18 million, he wants the DNC to take over employing his staff and fill them into various campaigns. And people who are within the party are very upset by this and say, let Bloomberg clean up his own mess.
Seems fair.
Bloomberg, meanwhile, has a representative who said, if people don't want the money, they can return it and it will be put to good use in alternative efforts to defeat President Trump, a Bloomberg spokesman told Politico. The Bloomberg campaign made the largest transfer in DNC history, $18 million, to help boost the DNC's coordinated efforts, including by enabling them to hire field organizers of ours who wanted to continue through November. It is certainly our hope that that effort not only continues, but accelerates. So they want to put the same staff that he had before back on. And you know they're good staff because Bloomberg is the nominee.
What?
Right?
Not their fault.
It's true. And again, he did hire some of the best, allegedly, so... I don't know. I could see either way. It's all about money. He did start extremely late. So late that it
started late.
But he accomplished his mission, which I said from the beginning. His mission was to get Bernie Sanders out of the primary. Yeah. And he ran just long enough to get Bernie Sanders out of the primary. So it worked out. He
messed up.
It was an excellent investment of capital because he saved himself a lot of tax money in the future. You're contagious. Republicans have moved to make it impossible to sue businesses that are reopening in the early states for CDC guideline violations. They said that any business that does their best to go with the CDC guidelines won't be able to be sued. And when reporters said, okay, well, what are the CDC guidelines? They said, we are never going to release them to you ever.
Yeah, what? Why?
Not only can you not sue them, you can't even know what guidelines are supposed to be following, so then they can never be sued.
It's probably like some lame communal like Google Doc. Like, oh, let's all put ideas for the guidelines in, team. And then they never got it together, and they don't have any guidelines, and now they're never releasing their guidelines. It's a mess.
It's a mess.
I don't understand. This is serious.
The Chamber of Commerce Vice President Neil Bradley said, we're not asking for some type of immunity. We're asking for a safe harbor. So the CDC, OSHA, State Public Health Authority issues recommendations. Immunity. A business does its best to comply with those recommendations. That should be safe harbor against those types of frivolous lawsuits.
So immunity.
Yeah. So basically, you can't sue while businesses are being reopened. There's no way for employees or customers to strike back at them if they have any kind of issue. Good job.
Daily Double. Makes me mad.
I should have moved this ahead of the other story. But speaking of Michael Bloomberg, he just bought a ranch in Colorado.
Yeah.
Valued at $44 million?
Originally they were trying to sell it for $46 million.
But he talked him down.
Talked him down to like 44.7 or something.
44, that's 45. So he saved $1.3 million.
Yeah.
He needs that $1.3 million for a helicopter because it's all the way in northwest Colorado. And I looked up pictures of the area.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen.
It looks fine. It's just kind of like rolling hills and trees. And
sounds great right now.
How many acres was it? Did it say?
Oh, I don't remember.
It was like 8 billion
acres. It sounded big. I was just like, oh, wow, that's why it's so expensive.
It's called Westlands, Colorado. And the best headline that you found was Bloomberg spends fraction of campaign, actually gets something for it.
I love it.
But again, he did get something for
so
it.
That's so good.
But still.
Yeah, he did get something for funny. It, but
that's pretty funny.
I like it.
All right, let's go to the last segment. Howdy.
Yeah.
If people want to give us a phone call, they very, very easily can. We're not sure. I forgot to test it on rotary phone, but I'm pretty sure you could probably still call from a rotary phone.
I didn't forget. I just didn't do it.
But the phone number, as always, is... V-I-L-E-2-8-1-3-3-0. First call is from Ophelia.
Hello, this is Ophelia, and I have a song to sing. What do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with...
That's too many what do you do's.
The
there you go.
Chase his belly with a rusty razor. Chase his belly with a rusty razor. Early in the morning. Bye.
So apparently she's hanging out with pirates or something. I don't know what...
Those rusty razors away from her.
You know who knows about rusty razors? Corn Pop, because he's a bad dude and he runs a bunch of bad boys. You not remember that part of the speech? He said back in the day they used to take the razors and they'd scuff them on the sidewalk. This is Joe Biden, and they'd scuff them on the sidewalk and then they'd leave them in the rain barrel to get rusty.
What did and he say like, that? Wow!
You never heard the Corn Pop, the actual Corn Pop. Speech?
No.
Oh, Corn Pop was a bad dude. Let me tell you.
I didn't know what you were saying.
Okay. Well, maybe I should edit it for tomorrow.
Oh, man.
We received a second call from Abram.
Hi, Double Dungeon. This is Abram. This is my shout out of the day for Kati for being such a good girl and for always brushing her teeth twice a day. I'm so proud of her for keeping up with her dental hygiene. It's very important. A long-term investment, what she's doing. So I just wanted to say, Catalina, keep on doing what you're doing, and don't scratch your butt and then itch your eyes. All right. Bye!
It's starting to fade out now.
Bye!
It's true. Dental hygiene is an excellent investment in your future.
It's true. Very important.
It's also very central to not just your mouth health,
but
it's actually very good for your heart health,
they've
found, because bacteria somehow affects and puts strain on your heart. I don't know. I'm not a doctor or a dentist. Are dentists doctors? They're not. They are, right? But it's like DDS.
Dr. Urim, or I don't know how to pronounce her name.
Anyway. That's our calls for today.
Our dentist.
Thank you for the phone calls. Again,
thank
if you want to give us a call. I read very sad news today on Twitter. It was actually trending, which is weird because this is just a fairly small dive bar. But Jimmy Glenn, who is the owner of Jimmy's Corner, which is a dive bar in Midtown, which is one of the only acceptable bars in that entire neighborhood to go to and hang out and feel comfortable in. Anyway, he died today at the age of 89 from coronavirus. Very sad.
Wow.
I was just there when Rob was here. Was that last fall?
I think it was that recent.
Yeah, it was last fall. Maybe. And we went in there because we used to go there all the time when we worked at MoMA, which is not super, super far away. And we went in and looked around, and I didn't see Jimmy because he used to sit at one end of the bar all the time. And I didn't see him, so I asked one of the waitresses, I said, is Jimmy still alive? And she said, oh, yeah, he's doing great. And he lived in some kind of community, you know. But, yeah, he died at 89. Very sad. He was very well known in the New York boxing community because he was a boxing trainer. And the walls were all just covered completely in boxing memorabilia.
Really?
Yeah. When we went, all the photos and everything are still up. He's got boxing posters back to the 60s and stuff.
Oh, cool.
So, very cool. If you're in Midtown, that's one of the best places to go stop. And also, the beer is cheap, and the people are nice. So, very sad.
Daily Double.
I wanted to mention that we started watching a movie last night.
Oh, yeah.
That you recommend, based on the fact that we've only seen half of it. But you enjoyed it.
I'm, like, just short of recommendation.
Okay.
I don't think I'm willing to recommend it.
Okay, so it's called Roller Coaster.
I'm enjoying it.
It came out in 1977, and it's one of those 70s disaster movies. And it started off fairly cheesy and with just kind of a night roller coaster scene. And I was like, oh, boy, this movie's pretty...
I thought that scene was great.
Pretty corny, whatever.
I loved it.
Like, there's a terrorist guy who blows up part of the rail of the roller coaster, and I was expecting it just to, like, fade out at one point. Yeah. But that's not what happened.
No.
They showed the roller coaster cars flying off into the air,
flipping over
with dummies inside, flipping over and crushing the dummies.
Oh my gosh.
There was, like, people covered in blood that they were filming. And then the next shot is, like, a ton of body bags laying around.
Yeah, they're transferring their body back.
It was way more gruesome. That scene was way more gruesome than I was expecting.
Yeah.
But the rest of the movie has been fine. It is from the creators of Columbo, which you were excited about.
I'm so excited about, because with a lot of the shots, you can see the connection. You're like, oh, that's totally what they would have done in Columbo. Or that's pretty much the same exact shot as that one episode, but in a movie.
So
very exciting. And the guy isn't smoking a cigar. He's smoking a cigarette. But otherwise, he's the same.
And he's like a roller coaster inspector who somehow gets... turned like
roped into this FBI investigation. It was like put out when they almost didn't let him in on
main cast. The main star is George Segal, who I only recognize from Just Shoot Me. He was the rich dad in that.
I'm so glad you pointed that out.
Richard Widmark and Timothy Bottoms are also in it, and Henry Fonda. Henry Fonda is in it randomly as well for just a few scenes, I'm sure, to get his name on the marquee somewhere. But it's been all right.
And
it's,
young Helen Hunt.
Oh, yeah. Very young Helen Hunt, randomly, as the kid, is in it. Overall, I thought it was good up until we got to the scene where they're doing a transfer.
Don't reveal too much.
Of $1 million because he's a terrorist, the roller coaster bomber.
Yeah, look, they haven't seen the movie yet.
It takes way too long to transfer the money. It's like, just give him the suitcase already. This is dumb.
I was enjoying it.
It's fine. It's we'll finish it and we'll update people. But for now, just know that this movie exists. And if you like Columbo, it's around technology
or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah. I forgot it.
When
it first played in the theaters, it had some kind of special audio bass system that would make the theater rumble because it was. Roller coaster.
It's base.
Yeah. So this movie and what? Earthquake was the other one?
Earthquake.
Yeah. So there you go.
Ooh.
There's some really bad disaster movies in the 70s. I don't know. We'll look into them. You're contagious. Speaking of movies, I am extremely excited, and we as a family,
you mean?
And Mookie, are getting...
Okay.
We are going to start paying to get Disney Plus.
No, why?
Because they just announced today that they are working on a National Treasure series for Disney Plus.
No, that's not a reason.
This is the first time I've ever heard anything on Disney Plus that I've been like, I kind of want to see that. That sounds interesting.
I'm not really complaining. I'd watch like all
making,
the Disney movies.
They're also making a third National Treasure movie, which is exciting.
Oh, I've watched that out.
The second one's not very good, but the first one is excellent.
You loved it.
I love the first one. It's so stupid.
You're so attached to it.
So this morning I awoke to the lovely sounds of someone vomiting.
It was strained vomiting. And it was disturbing.
It coming through the wall from the front studio. And just before we started recording, we heard some music finally coming from the front studio. And you were very relieved because you were wondering if perhaps he had strained himself and died in the front studio.
Yeah, from his vomit.
It was really like...
It was going on, yeah, it was going on for a while. And I'm used to, like, you know, like, working in a bar, like, you see the results of the vomiting. But, you know, all I could do was, like, listen to it. Yeah. And I was like, well, I don't know the result of this, if he's okay.
If
I should kick him out of his studio, like, I can't do that.
Call your security guard, yeah.
Yeah.
Slip him $50. I was sleeping when he was vomiting.
Yeah.
And you were still at work, or you had just started work.
Yeah.
And it was even in my dreams, the vomiting noise. And in my dreams, I was sitting on a corner, and it was nighttime, and I was sitting in a giant pile of recycling.
Like, what? Really?
Yeah. And then I heard the vomiting noise. So, and
that's the first thing you said when you woke up. That's the first thing you asked me.
Yeah. Cause I heard it in my dream and I wanted to make sure it was in real life and not in my dream.
It was real.
So, very interesting morning. Daily Double. I'm excited. I got some more CDs for my Sega CD. I'm going to burn some more games. I'm going to burn one of the classic quintessential Sega CD games, which is called Night Trap. And Night Trap is a video game that is sort of like a short form movie, and you can switch between camera angles. This is very early in CD technology and gaming. And it takes place, I believe, at a sorority, and there's like these ninja people that are abducting and killing these cheerleader type women. And it stars a girl from, what was the one with, what you talking about, Willis? What show was that? Anyway, it's from that, the girl from that show's in it. So you have to move around and you like activate these traps to kill all the ninjas and save the cheerleaders. And it's very famous. And so I'm going to play it and you'll see it. And it's pretty ridiculous.
Oh, I hope it's fun.
It's not, but it's, it's interesting and silly. So, and at the end, if you, spoiler alert, at the end, even if you do everything correctly, the girl still dies.
Why?
Because you activate the trap at the end and it traps her and kills her.
That's messed up.
But it's like, you're betraying her. I don't know. It's silly.
Well, that sounds terrible.
Okay, well, you went from being excited to being depressed by it. You're contagious. I have an update on the weather. This is our daily weather update now.
What are you talking about?
Apparently snow was canceled for today because it was lovely and clear all day.
It was canceled.
It's coming
like
tomorrow.
A snow day.
It's coming tomorrow. Oh. They revised it. They said tomorrow night it's going to dip down into the 30s.
Seriously?
So, yeah, they said this is the coldest that it'll have been in 18 years. So, and that's back when I first moved here. I used to complain all the time how cold it was all winter long. And then, like, recently over the past few winters, it's been really temperate.
It's been mild, yeah.
So, maybe we're switching back into a colder.
Get all the blankets tomorrow.
Because that's something that really bothered me when I first moved here, is that the wind just whips through any clothing
February
you have on.
February used
and
to be
really
the worst.
And it really chills you to the bone, so... one more segment. Daily Double. For dinner today, I decided to go into the freezer, which we have like 10 things to pick from because I have been making a lot of stuff and then freezing it. And so I pulled out a quart that was labeled chili, and I'm glad that it turned out to actually be chili. I don't know why I'm surprised, but that's what
surprised?
It was. I don't know. But I added a little bit of extra beans to it, and I added some seasonings. And so I made a chili, tomato chili. And then I made a box of the cornmeal biscuit, or cornmeal, cornbread, whatever. But I added a ton of frozen corn, some more of the cheese, my coronavirus cheese that I got from work. What else did I add? Some minced jalapenos, and whatever. And then I topped the chili with that in a skillet, and I baked it all.
Good.
And then you pulled it out, and it's very good, and the
and
bread is
very
moist,
pretty, yeah.
And it tastes very good. You said it was too spicy.
But I was enjoying it.
Speaking of spicy, I cut all of the seeds and everything out of the jalapenos to make it not hot.
Okay.
And then I accidentally touched my nose. I washed my hands, but I still touched my nose, and it got on the inside, on the actual, the tender part of your nose on the inside there, and it was burning for, like,
he was
40
suffering.
Minutes, 40 minutes it was burning.
Suffering.
It was so bad. Oh, man. So that must have been a hot jalapeno. This one's not that bad. So anyway, that's it. Let's get out of here. I have to charge my computer so we can watch Roller Coaster.
All right.
Second half. I hope the second half is more entertaining.
We'll see.
How can a movie called Roller Coaster not be entertaining?
I think it is.
Okay, it's fine. Bye!